I'm great is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Somebody say amen right there. If you got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter number 2. And I am going to share a message about the Christmas story that this was not shared much. But I'm going to preach it this morning. And I want you to go all the way down into Luke chapter 2, down to verse 25. Luke 2, verse 25, and I'll take you down through verse 35. The Bible said, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared for the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Our Father, I thank you for the Christmas story. Yes. I thank you for my Savior that came into this world, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the curse of the law. I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit of God will deal with every heart, that when everybody leaves today, and if you would come today or if they would die today, they will be ready. And I'll praise you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. In chapter 2, you know this is... And by the way, let me give you some advice. If you get a chance, if you can, just take a moment out of your time with your children and read this whole Christmas story to them. Luke 2 would be a wonderful thing to do before one gift is given. Tell them about the gift of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. We see Mary and Joseph by the providence of God going to Bethlehem. By the way, that was because God allowed a tax to be given. And God, hey, by the way, I'm glad that God's in everything. God knows everything. Amen. And by the way, the angel of the Lord had appeared to Joseph and told him that within Mary, let me just say it this way, within Mary, she was conceived by the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine him heading up the road? All this wonder in his mind. And the angel of the Lord came and said, hey, hey, hey. The Holy Ghost done that. Y'all said, what did the Holy Ghost do? The Holy Ghost placed Jesus in her womb. Somebody say amen. Hey, human, a man had no part of that. Man, I'm preaching right there. Somebody help me. And then he said, fear not to take her. I mean, you know, you can imagine what was going on in his life. Hey, she's pregnant. All this doubt. He said, fear not to take her. She's conceived of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say. Then we see in this chapter, the shepherds heard the announcement. And we see that he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And I mentioned this before. He was wrapped in grave clothes. Hear me. Make no doubt about it. He came to die. His purpose of leaving the glory of heaven to come here on earth was one purpose and one only, and that was to die. But can I give you something you might want to put in your notes that fascinated me? I did a little extra studying. I read after Edersheim. Anybody wants to hear, if you ever want to study Jewish history and Jewish custom, get Alfred Edersheim's book. He said some other things, but this is interesting. Do you know also that the Passover lamb, on the Passover lamb, before it was going to be a sacrifice, do you all know that it was wrapped in swaddling clothes? Did you know it? And you say, why did they wrap that Passover lamb? Because see, that Passover lamb had to be without blemish and without spot. And that them swaddling clothes was going to protect you from getting any nicks. And by the way, Jesus is our Passover lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Well, hallelujah. I'm not getting anywhere real quick. Now, let me take you on into the story. I'm going there. At eight days old, Jesus was circumcised. You say, why in the world was he circumcised? He was circumcised because the law demanded for a Jewish child to be circumcised. And Jesus Christ kept the law to the letter because we can't keep the law, but he kept the law from when he was 8 days all the way from his birth till his death. So we that can't keep the law, we keep it through him, and his righteousness is given to us and imputed to us because he kept it to the letter.
Amen.
I'm still going. I'm introducing this. I'm trying to get somewhere. Now, y'all still with me? I'm setting the fence. That's at age 8 days old. Well, at 41, somewhere in there, then it was custom for the mother and the baby to come to the temple. And you say, what did they come to the temple for? Purification. Now, it was custom if you had money, you paid 5 shekels of gold. Or maybe 5 shekels of silver. I could be off on that, so stay with me. But they didn't have money. But if you was a poor person, if you look at verse 24, if you was a poor person, you'd bring 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons. And undoubtedly, that's what they done. They came to fulfill the law for the purifying. Now, Mary needed purifying, but Jesus didn't need purifying. Somebody say amen right there. Now, you stay with me. I'm going somewhere. I just want to build this porch. And when they come in to the temple, they're meeting an old man there. A man that was near death, but he wasn't going to die. Boy, I like it. Hey, how many of y'all like to have this thought? Well, you're not going to see death until you see the Lord's Christ.
Amen.
Man, I could just see old Simeon getting on a bungee and do some bungee jumping and maybe got on a motorcycle and jumped over a bus. I don't know. Hey, I mean, if I'm not going to die, I'm going to have me a time. Somebody say amen right there. And that's just a little Smithology. I'm just thinking about that. The Bible said something about this Simeon that I want you to know. He was a Jew. He believed in Jesus. By the way, for a Jew to believe in Jesus and believe the Old Testament scripture about Jesus, that's big time. And I believe he spent probably a lot of time at the temple. I can imagine him being there and kids come by and that's not it. But I'm glad for the time, the appointed time, that the Holy Ghost of God said, get up there to the temple. Let me ask you a question. How many of y'all believe the Holy Ghost still can inspire people? Raise your hand. Hey, I want you to know, I'm going to run a rabbit here, but I want you to know it's important to have the Holy Ghost upon you and in you, and you be led by the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of people, all they're led by is the flesh, but Simeon was led by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
I'm still going. Then he got him there, and what would you say if the Lord Christ came in front of you? Well, I know what I'd probably say. Hallelujah! I'd probably said that too. Ray would have said, wonderful!
Amen.
We might have just said, praise the Lord! Amen! Glory to God! He didn't say anything. He said, look what he said. Y'all got your Bible? Whew. Man, oh man. He took him up in his arms. He said, now, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. That word depart's a fascinating word. I'm not getting to my sermon real quick. By the way, that's a fascinating word. It pictures like a prisoner being released after release and went free. It's a picture of a ship tied up and loosed to go out to sea. It's a picture of an oxen released from its burden. I want you to know something. One of these days I'm going to die. And I want you to know I'm going to be released from the bondage of this body. And to be absent from the body, I'll be present with the Lord. Somebody say amen. And I want you to just go back with me 2,000 years ago. And you know what he was saying? He could have said hallelujah. He could have said praise the Lord. He said, but that's not what he said. He said, it's time for me. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to depart. I'm going to preach on this subject. Are you ready? I just thought I'd preach on that. Are you ready? I want y'all to know something. I don't know a lot about life, but I want you to know this. I am ready right now. I just soon the Lord just say, come up hither. You say, well, we'll miss cantata. We didn't come last night. Shame on you. We'll sing it in the air. Amen. Hey, I want you to, yeah, praise God. I am ready. But the question are you ready?
Amen.
Let me give you three things and I'll let you go home. Number one, in verse number 25, I see an intense anticipation. You know what? I wish there's some people just get intense about serving God. Why is it folks are so lethargic about their service for God? Come on, help me preach right here. It ain't time for you to bow your head and pray. An intense anticipation. I want y'all to know something. I got to tell y'all something. I got here at 7:30 this morning. You said, why was you here so early? So I could be here and pray and get some intensity about me. I love this. Man, you said, man, you had to get up out of bed. You had to get up here and you had to preach. Are you out of your mind? I get to do it. I love doing it. I'm intense about it. I'll tell you what we're seeing. We're seeing a generation of Christians today that have no intensity about serving God. They're not passionate about it. Hey, they're not passionate about it. It's not thrilling to me. I'll tell you what, I'm not everything I should be. But I want to tell you, I have not lost my passion for Christ.
Amen.
I'll say three or four things about that. I see, first of all, a steadfast wait. The Bible said that he was a just man. By the way, he had a righteous conversion. He was just. Can I give you something to put in your notes? He didn't need to see Jesus to believe on Jesus. He already believed in Jesus. Some of you said, well, I can't buy that old time religion. I can't buy you people that can go back 2,000 years ago and believe in somebody that you say was virgin born, that kept the law to the letter, that went to the cross, and you believe that, yet you've never seen it. I don't buy it. I've got to see it. I've got to feel it. I've got to touch it. I want to tell you something. You're going to get saved this morning. It ain't going to be by touchy-feely. It's going to be by you believe the record of the gospel that Jesus died. He was steadfast. Lord, have mercy. Not only was he righteously converted, but he also was regularly consistent. He was devout. I want to tell you something. I'll tell you the proof of a person is. It's not, hey, come on, I'm going to preach. It's not going to be what you do, but what stops you from doing what you do. I'm devout. He's consistent. Hey, by the way, he went to the temple regularly. Hey, I'm going to preach it. This, hey, being saved is more than a Christmas Easter thing. Being saved is just more than just one little morning a week. Being saved is a 7-day operation. Being saved is to come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Being saved is to live right for God. Being saved is to go to work and live for God. Are you steadfast? Are you consistent? Are you regular? Or are you just like the rest of the bunch that don't have much after Sunday morning? All you got Sunday morning religion. All you got's a little miamoni. Listen to me. I ain't got a miamoni. I got a testimony. Jesus lives in me. And it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's Jesus. Well, in case you're your Christmas, you're just a one time a year person, I'm going to give you the whole goods this morning. Now I see a spiritual witness here. I see the Holy Ghost in verse 25. You say, what made that old man make it to see Jesus? He was sustained by the Holy Ghost. How many's glad for the Holy Ghost sustaining you? How many's ever been at the edge of your faith? Come on. The edge of your faith where you just thought you was going to fall off the cliff. Come on. You self-righteous people, God bless you. I've been there. I've been to the place where I think this is it. I'm ready to fall off the ledge. I'm done. You say, what kept you from falling off the ledge? I've been sustained by a person that lives in me. Simeon had that person. If you're saved, you have that person. Don't give me this bunch of junk and bunch of excuses for your lifestyle. You ought to be living for God. You got God in you. We still having fun yet.
Amen.
Preach on.
Yeah.
If I'm gonna preach on, I better find my notes. I'll tell you what. How many believe everything we? By the way, he had a scriptural word too. Can I give you something? I have to have a New Testament to tell you about Jesus. I can tell you Isaiah 7:14. The sign will be given, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. I can give you Isaiah 9:6 in his name. And the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I can even tell you in Micah where he was born in Bethlehem.
Amen.
You want old Simeon Head? He had a scriptural word. I heard a Sunday school teacher in the class here. And I ain't gonna browbeat you. There ain't no use me to do that. You're going to do what you want to do anyway. Ain't that true? Ain't no use me getting up here and ask you people to read the Word of God. I beg you to. But you'll do it if you want to do it. You go to your little boy's ball game, your little girl's soccer game, you'll go to everything else. And I'm for it. But just reading the Bible through, didn't you say something this morning? Can't you read it through once a year if you read 10 pages a day?
That would take you through almost 3 times.
3 times a year? 10 pages a day? Well, y'all read your expos.
Right.
And your little fitness magazines. I mean, you read your astrology chart every week. Oh, I'm preaching, okay. He had a scriptural word. You know why some of you is face weak, your life's weak, you don't have much about your Christianity? Because the Bible's not real to you. I tell you what's real to you is doing something worldly, something flat. It ain't nothing for you to get your marijuana stick or a little beer at Christmas time. Somebody help me preach right now. Shame on you at your drunken Christmas parties.
Amen.
If you got the scripture, you got Jesus. You don't have drunken Christmas parties. You don't smoke dope on a regular basis. You don't go and cuss and act like a devil.
That's right.
Amen.
I know some of you said, I wish I'd have stayed home. Yeah, you'd have been just like you are right now. You see, you sound like the Grinch. No, somebody ought to tell you he's more than just a swear word. He's more than just a habit. He's more than just a high. He's an everyday thing. He's of my life. He's my being. He's what has rescued me from hell. He got, oh, hallelujah. Tell you one thing you can bank on. You can bank on this. Man, I gotta go. Number two. Woo! In verse 28, I see the incredible actuality. He been looking. He been waiting. Then in verse 28, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. Woo! Oh, come on, stop, man. I don't know if I'm going to get done. I remember when my kids were born. Now, I didn't get to go through Julie's. I didn't go through Julie's and see her birth. And to be honest with you, I didn't have a Lamaze. What do they call it, Lamaze? Is that what it is? I don't know what it was, but I know one thing. Marguerite got pregnant, and James, he's Henry. He's still Henry. And I want you to know something. He came quick. I was watching Cincinnati Reds, and she said, I'm having pains. I said, this thing ain't over yet. You just hold on. She said, come on, sir. I got her there. Man, she wasn't there an hour. Richard called me back. I thought he just called me back to see her and have prayer with her. Man, I ain't never had no Lamaze classes. And I went back there.
I was right in the middle of it. They put a blouse on me. I was right in the middle of this thing. They said, tell her to. And I was going, I was ready to pass out. James, when I saw you come out, could you imagine Simeon? Could you imagine Simeon hugging and wrapping his arms around Jesus?
Amen.
You said, preacher, I've never done that. I've done it by faith, but one of these days I'm going to bow at his feet. I'm going to put my arms around him and say, Jesus, 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 hallelujah.
Amen.
A divine perception. Woo. He knew when he had him, he wasn't looking at Muhammad or Buddha. Then I see a direct praise. He blessed God. Some of you, why don't you just bless God for your salvation? Why don't you bless God for Jesus? Why don't you love Jesus? And he said, I'm all right now. Let me depart. And then verse 30, he says this. Look here. Y'all still with me? For mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. He declared a proclamation. Jesus saves. How many in this room can raise your hand and testify this morning? You know he saves because he saved you. Raise them up high and wave. Wait, not wave at me, wave at him. Say, thank you for saving me. I got to hurry. Lastly, the important announcement, verse 34. I'm done. I got to hurry. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising in of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken again. The important announcement. I noticed a set reaction. By the way, it's for the fall or the rise. If you believe, you're going to rise. If you fall, you don't believe. Hey, listen for me. This church is not where you find salvation. You either believe Christ or you reject Christ. You believe Christ, you're going to rise. You reject Christ, you're going to go down. You're going to hell. Then I see a simulated rebellion. Look at verse 35. Verse 34 talked about a sign. Let me tell Hollywood. I want to tell some of you Christians. I beg you, if you're a member of this church, I beg you to stop your wine drinking. I just beg you. I beg you not to have a party in the name of Jesus and have beer and wine. I beg you to quit going to the dinner table and having your wine. And then you can sing, oh, how I love Jesus. I beg you. Listen to me. That's a sign of rebellion. Number three, I see a sorrowful realization. Look what he said to Mary. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy soul also. Mary, this Jesus, your boy, he's going to die. And your heart's going to be broke. And I see a specific revelation, verse 5. He's going to be crucified. By the way, the revelation of how you feel about how you handle Calvary's everything. There's some people mock Calvary. Are you one of them this morning? I wish I could sing. I'd sing this song right now. I cling to the old rugged cross. It says something about you. It really reveals everything about you, what you feel about Calvary and what you feel about Jesus. Let me ask you something. Two things I want to ask you. If you're here and unsaved, are you ready? If you're unsaved, you're not. But let me ask you, how many's ever heard the scripture, prepare to meet thy God? That is not talking to sinners. Christian, let me ask you a question. Where you are spiritually at this moment in your life, you know where you're at. God knows where you're at. Would you be satisfied if he'd come right now? And you head right to the judgment bar. Anything you change? Would you change by being your would you change your bitterness and start being blessed and happy? Would you change your unforgiveness and start living right for God? You said, but you don't know how people hurt me. Listen to me. I'm just looking you in your face. Hey, I'm looking you right in your face this morning. Bitterness is on you. Not on somebody else. You can miamoni all your life and say, look what they've done. Hey, look what he's done. Would you like to go to heaven today bitter, unforgiving? Would you like to go to heaven knowing that there's a six-pack out in your car or in your refrigerator or your municipal marijuana's up there in the house? Boy, it's quiet in here today. Or you're going to Kroger's and get your wine cooler in a few minutes. What a mockery to Jesus. And we want to do it in the name I love Jesus. When you drink your beer at this Christmas party, say thank you, Jesus. Hey, sinner's not the only person that needs to get right this morning. People that are backsliding on God, that's got so cold. You know what? You've got so hard that this kind of preaching doesn't even affect you anymore. You have no guilt. You have no conscience. I can't touch you and God can't touch you because your conscience is seared with a hot iron. And the next step for you, sir, ma'am, grandpa, grandma, the next step for you, if God can't use you here, there is a sin and a death for Christians. And we're seeing that this week. Some people leaving this world early. They're in heaven because of the grace of God. But they went early because of their rebellion. And they're no longer of any use to God. And I want you to know something. Christian, if we get no use for God, why not him just take me home? Bow your head with me. Stand with me to your feet. I know I've went over 3 or 4 minutes, but that's okay. How many of you right now say, Preacher Smith, I couldn't raise my hand to say I'm saved. But right now I want to tell you I'm not a Christian and I need Jesus in my life. And I want to raise my hand and ask you to pray for me that I get saved. If I know him, raise them up. Raise them up. Yes, I see you. How many Christians right now just raise your hand up? How many Christians admit there's something in your life that doesn't please God? And you should be up your hand and say, pray for me. Yes, that's honesty. There's a lot that won't, but thank God for you being honest. Somebody else. Yes. Father, touch the invitation. Thank you for the liberty I had this morning to preach like I've never preached before. Just want to preach my head off. Till I see the salvation of the Lord. Till I see your son. In Jesus' name. Amen.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering.
Is God the Spirit still able to talk to you? Is he still able to discuss your lifestyle?
Battle cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain.
Oh God, touch the soul.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday